The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I just ask you to pray for the American government, and I hope you will. Pray for our president, pray for the Supreme Court, but I also encourage you to pray for the nation of Israel. In Scripture, we are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Throughout history, that little tiny piece of land called Israel has been the center of world attention for centuries and centuries and centuries, and it certainly is today. It is the center of the Bible, Israel. Jerusalem, the very center of the Bible. It's the very center of human history. And Israel is in a little bit of turmoil right now. They just had their second election of the year. The Israeli government is not like the American government. It is a democratic form of government. It is a representative form of government. But it's quite different from America. The Knesset is the ruling body in Israel, and they do not have a two-party system. They have a multi-party system. And the parties vary in number. It has, at times, there have been as many as 20 parties. I think usually there's 12, 13, 14, something like that. And they have an election. And the party that has the most votes in the election has the responsibility of building a coalition government. In some ways, it's a little bit like the British Parliament in some ways. But anyway, the prime minister can call for elections just about any time he wants to. If there's some kind of crisis or whatever. Anyway, Israel just had their second election this year already, and there was no clear winner. Benjamin Netanyahu's party came up one short behind Benny Gantz, who is his kind of his arch rival. And Benny Gantz and his party came out with one more vote, or one more representation than Netanyahu. So Benny Gantz has a tiny majority of one, but, the government is very, very divided. And so it looks like they are going to do something that has not been done for many, many, many years. And what is being suggested is that the prime minister role will rotate between Netanyahu and Benny Gantz. How that works, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure that they know how it's going to work. But that's what's going to be suggested, is that they'll be kind of co-prime ministers. One will be prime minister for 2 months, 3 months, and the other will be a prime minister for 2 months, 3 months, whatever they work out in this in this coalition government. But the whole reason I bring this up to you is that for the very first time, the Arab Alliance, see, unlike what you hear in the news, The Arabs in Israel have a role in the government as well. There are Muslims that are in the Jewish government. There are Arabs in the Jewish government. They have representation in the Jewish government. If you look at the mainstream news, you would never, ever know that. Well, in the newly elected government, you have Netanyahu's party, you have Benny Gantz's party, and then the third largest faction are Arabs. Arabs are the third largest faction in the newly elected government. And here's the story, and this is what I wanted to bring to your attention. Quote, after 27 years of sitting out decisions on who should lead Israel, Arab lawmakers on Sunday recommended that Benny Gantz, the centrist former army chief, get the first chance to form a government over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a watershed assertion of political power. Ayman Odeh, the leader of the Arab Joint List, wrote in a New York Times op-ed published on Sunday that the alliance's 13 incoming lawmakers, the third largest faction in the newly elected parliament, had decided to recommend Mr. Gantz because, quote, it would create the majority needed to prevent another term for Mr. Netanyahu. It is my understanding this is the first time the Arab element of the Israeli government has gotten behind a prime minister. This is the first time that they have endorsed a political candidate. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. That's above my pay grade. But I think it's fascinating that for the first time, the Arab parties, and again, they came in third, have publicly said, we want Netanyahu out, we want Benny Gantz in. And again, quoting from the story, this is from a BBC news source, quote, this is the first time that an Arab political group has issued an endorsement for prime minister. Faced with another deadlock, Israel's president, Reuven Rivlin, has recommended the new government include both Mr. Gantz's Blue and White Alliance, which won 33 seats, and Mr. Netanyahu's Likud party, which won 31. Oh, okay, things have changed. I thought it was 32 and 31 seats. Now it's Gantz's Blue and White has 33 seats. Netanyahu's Likud party has 31. Now, some of you are saying, who in the world is this Reuven Rivlin? I thought Netanyahu was the president. No. In the Israeli government, the president has very little authority. I wouldn't say he's a figurehead, but he has very little power, very little authority. Almost all the authority, almost all the power rests in the prime minister. It's kind of like in Great Britain. The queen is the queen. The queen is the monarch. She doesn't have any authority at all. She's a figurehead. The prime minister has the authority in Great Britain. Well, in Israel, the president, who right now is a gentleman named Reuven Rivlin, and he does have some power or authority in how the new government will be structured, and he is recommending a coalition between these two parties and this rotating prime minister thing. Now, I hope I haven't confused you any more than I am confused myself. The Israeli government is difficult to understand. It's much more complex than the American government. So I hope I have at least somewhat accurately reported to you what's going on. But here's the point. The nation of Israel right now is in political turmoil. And because of that, their enemies would love to take advantage. You hear me? While Israel is in political turmoil about the prime minister's office, the new coalition government, how it's going to be formed, who's going to be in power, the Arabs backing one of the candidates and wanting the other candidate out, bringing even more division in Israel between the Israelis and the Palestinians. This is a very tumultuous time in the nation of Israel, and their enemies would love to take advantage of it. So I'm asking all of us to pray that they will get this thing resolved quickly. They can form a coalition government. They can determine the direction that Israel is going to go, and that enemies will not take advantage of some of this turmoil. If there were to be a major terrorist attack, major rocket attacks at this point, it could put the Israeli government into a position of turmoil that we have not seen for a long, long time. I believe we are commanded to pray for the peace of Israel, but I think we're to go beyond that. And pray for the nation of Israel. I do believe God's hand is on this tiny little nation, and he is not finished with them. So pray for them. Pray for them. And I'll do my best, with my limited knowledge, to keep you informed about what's going on politically in Israel. All right, we're going to take the final break. I've got an important message for you, and then we'll return.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I've debated through the day today whether to respond to this email that I got from one of our listeners. No. It's not a critical email. They're not angry. They're not mad. They just wanted to know my thoughts. One of our listeners was listening to Glenn Beck earlier today, and the only reason I mentioned his name is not to attack him or anything, but it just that's who it was. And our listener quoted him, and I will have to trust and believe that our listener got the quote right. So you have to understand, my comments are assuming that this quote is correct, and I do. He heard Glenn Beck today say, in relationship to a story that he was talking about, quote, "We are not evil. We are born, all of us, with goodness and decency." And our listener wanted my comments on that. Well, first of all, to be blunt and honest, that is absolutely, totally wrong. And we come back to worldview. This is something that you and I discuss regularly on this program, and that is very, very intentional. I try consciously to bring up worldview on this program at least once a week, sometimes more. I am certain that at times I forget about it and don't do it, but I intentionally try to deal with worldview at least once a week. And the reason for that is your worldview, my worldview, our worldview will color everything you see, everything you hear, and everything you experience. And I've used this illustration dozens, maybe hundreds of times, but I think it's appropriate. It's like we have a set of glasses, eyeglasses, spectacles. And on those glasses, we have things etched on the lens. And what is etched on the lens of those glasses that we look through is our worldview, which means every single thing we see will be colored by what we see on that lens. And again, this is a silly illustration. But if we had, you know, you hear about rose-colored glasses. Well, if you genuinely had glasses that were tinted a rose color, everything you see is going to have that rose tint on it. You can't help it. Well, the worldview that we believe will inform everything, interpret everything you see, you hear, you experience. Now, the worldview espoused here, we are not evil. We are born, all of us, with goodness and decency, is the typical secular humanistic worldview. Man is inherently good. If you are a humanist, even an atheist, you believe in the innate goodness of man. Everybody is good. Everybody has good in them. It just needs to be encouraged. And the only reason anybody is bad or evil is because of their circumstances. They have been disadvantaged, they've been abused or whatever, and that's the only reason they have bad or evil. If you are a supposed Christian, a liberal theologian, you still have the exact same worldview. But you say, well, we all have a spark of divinity within us. We all have at least a little bit of the nature of God because we are made in the image of God. You hear that all the time from the liberal theologians. We are all made in the image of God. Therefore, we're all decent, good people. And all you need is a little bit of encouragement. Well, that's not a biblical worldview. You say, well, Bob, we weren't created in the image of God. Yes, but that image was marred when our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell in the Garden of Eden. They sinned. They disobeyed God. And God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The image of God was marred. It was ruined when Adam and Eve sinned, and they passed on to their children and their grandchildren and to the entire human race a fallen human evil nature. Now, does that mean that we can't do good? Of course not. But it means it is our nature to do wrong. And that's why you never need to teach a child to do wrong. That comes naturally. But you spend their entire childhood teaching them to do right. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. So if we understand that man is inherently bad, then it should not surprise us that when you remove God from the culture, when you remove God from the schools, when you remove God from the government, what is going to be left? Evil. Your worldview will help you interpret everything that happens around you. Make sure, folks, that your worldview is biblical. And it means we all need redemption and salvation. We all do. That's why Jesus came. All right, I'm out of time. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. But please, whatever you do, wherever you go, please remember whose you are.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.